For the children who'd like to go to children's church, we're going to head upstairs. And if you could get settled, Miss Scarlett is going to read scripture for us. And then it's Richard's time to impart the wisdom God has given him.
Okay. So I'm going to read Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as one, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, what a way to spend your birthday, speaking God's word. Can't beat that. How's that? Okay, as I said, today is my birthday. How can you beat speaking God's word on your birthday? I happen to be 65 years old today. I am old, I'm telling you what. I'll tell you a little bit about my life story. Two years after I graduated high school, I moved to California to work with a friend of mine, and I learned how to frame houses. And he lived in a town called Loma Linda, California. And Loma Linda is a Seventh-day Adventist town. The entire town is run by the Seventh-day Adventists. There are no fast food restaurants unless they sold veggie burgers. You can't buy meat in the stores. Women didn't wear jewelry, and I was single, so if I was talking to a woman, I'm like, well, I'd like to ask her out, but I don't know if she's married or not. And the mail ran on Sunday, but not Saturday. There was only one other city in the United States at that time that could claim that. And the thing that put, other than those items I just mentioned, the thing that really put Loma Linda on the map was Loma Linda University Medical Center. They're world famous for their heart surgeries, heart transplants, especially for children. And on October 26, 1984, Dr. Leonard Bailey transplanted the heart of a baboon into a baby Faye, they called her. And that was what woken up everybody's eyes, got the ball rolling. Now, like I said, this place is world famous for heart transplants and anything to do with your heart. However, there was something that happened a year and a half at that hospital before this heart surgery. My son was born there. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet. A very great prophet, and he's talking to God. God's talking to him about the Israelites. What else? He says, you know, what else did they talk about? But this time, God's serious. He's going to get them on the road to recovery. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. God says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." Now in the King James Version, the word spirit in verse 26 has a small s. In the blue book that most of you people read, it had a capital S. Now, a small s represents the spirit that God gives us when we're born again. He puts it in us. Capital S is God. He is the Holy Spirit. For some reason, when they translated the King James Version into the New Revised Bible, they got a little confused there. Verse 26 says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I give within you. Oh, sorry. A new heart also will I give you. In King James, it says also. The Blue Book doesn't say also. So I'm wondering, what else will he give us besides a new heart? Isn't that enough? But if he wants to give it to me, I'll take it, you know. Now, about 9 years ago, I had a heart attack. So I went to the hospital. I was living in Reedsport. They took me into the hospital and they did a bunch of tests on me. And they decided that they should put a stent in one of my arteries. So they put me to sleep, put a stent in, and my artery was too distended. It was too stretched out, so the stent wouldn't do any good. So they said, well, maybe you probably just need a pacemaker. We'll let you go. You're out of here. Cool. So I was going to get checked out the next day. Well, that night I had another heart attack while I was in the hospital. They started scratching their heads, going, well, maybe a pacemaker is not the answer. So they sent me to a real doctor. I went up here to River Bend, and a Dr. David Duke performed surgery on my heart. And it's not a new heart, but it's about as close as you can get to being completely rebuilt. They did a double bypass. They rebuilt my aorta, and they replaced my valve with a cow valve, by the way. It was a moving experience. And by the way, I did get a pacemaker a year later. That's the also of God. A new heart and a pacemaker, just to make sure. Please turn to Book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Okay, now this is about Stephen. Stephen was a disciple. He wasn't one of the 12 because he took the place of one of the other disciples, probably the guy that turned on Jesus and killed himself. But at any rate, he was a great disciple. That he was made to be a martyr. That was his call in life. He was a martyr. And so, but before he dies, he has a speech for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those guys. And he lays it out. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. And that means they have a hard heart. They just don't care about anybody. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them from then was shewed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He came out and said, you guys killed Jesus Christ. You're murderers. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Wow. An angel comes down to earth and tells you laws, says this is what God wants you to do, and you're going to go, nah, I don't think so. Wrong answer. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Okay, and this is another thing about in the Blue Book. It says they gnashed at him with their teeth. This says in King James Version, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were so angry and psycho, they were biting him. Then they decided, well, that's not good enough. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, for some reason, they capitalized that there, too, but it shouldn't have been. It should have been a small g, but it's the same thing as spirit, ghost spirit. Looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. They were so messed up in their head, they didn't want to hear the truth. They made up their mind this guy was stupid and he deserved to die. And ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Remember that name. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin upon their charge. I just can't imagine that. I mean, being that forgiving. Because they were taking rocks like this, maybe a little smaller, and throwing it at this guy, trying to kill him. And they did. They killed him by throwing rocks at him, hitting him in the head, in the body. And he's standing there the whole time going, God, forgive these people. I'm sorry. I just don't think I could do that. I don't know what I would do, but this guy was awesome. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That was it. He was dead. These guys killed him because he was speaking the truth. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul was there. When they were killing Stephen, stoning him, he watched the whole thing and said, good job, guys. Wow. Okay, let's turn to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, there he is again, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that means the people that were following the way of God, the word of God, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I've always wondered what that meant, and I decided to do something about it, and I looked it up. What it means is, it's a farmer's term. When a farmer wanted an ox to turn left, he had a stick with a metal poke on and a sharp point on the end of it. And when he wanted the ox to turn, he'd poke him with that stick. And most oxen would go ahead and turn the way the farmer wanted him to. Because if he kicked against it, it'd just make it worse. That's what Jesus was telling Saul. You're a done deal. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. So don't fight me on this one. And Saul's going, wow, I think he's got a point here. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, this is the guy that was on his way to get a bunch of Christians and take them back to Jerusalem and have them killed, feed them to the lions. And now, all of a sudden, one little flash of light, and he's all scared. Yeah, well, I would be too. And he... And then he said, What have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into this city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Wow. And Ananias is thinking, no, we're talking about a different person here. Saul of Tarsus is what Saul went by. And when he told somebody his name, they shook in fear because he was there to kill somebody. And if you were a Christian, it's all over. And by the way, after Saul gets his act together and decides to be a good person, God changed his name to Paul. However, Paul, Saul, was a Jew. So when he was on a mission to spread the word of God to different towns, he was wise enough to determine which name he went by. If he was in a Jewish town, he told him his name was Saul. He didn't say Saul of Tarsus anymore. He just said Saul. But if he was in a town where there was a few Christians around, decent people, he could tell him his name was Paul. Verse 12. And verse 11 it says, and he was praying. Saul was praying. Wow. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Amen. Wow. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now how's that for a change of heart? Verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem? Or what they should have said was, Is not this the man with a new heart? I would say so. Paul was beaten, imprisoned, stoned, and eventually killed for believing in God and teaching his word. He wrote 13 or 14 books of the Bible. Hebrews is up for discussion, but he definitely wrote 13 books of the Bible. A lot of people say that. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. This is Jesus talking. By the way, one of the things I like about my King James Version is Jesus has red letters. Verse 19, chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When God gave us a new heart, like he said in Ezekiel, that was not a literal term. It was a figure of speech. He changed our heart to give us the ability to think and feel differently about things. We still had the same ticker inside of our chest, but the heart of a man is actually his brain. That's when you have a feeling in your heart, well, it's because you think so. So when Jesus said, where your treasures are, there your heart is also, when you get that new heart, you don't have to necessarily be a good Christian. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to read the Bible. But you should, and you should want to. So when you put your treasures on earth, you don't want to go to church. You'd rather stay home and watch football. You'd rather not go to work on Monday. You'd rather stay home and collect unemployment or welfare. Well, then your treasures are going to be here on earth. So when you die, that's about all you're going to have. Is you're going to make it to heaven, but that's all you're going to get. But if you're a good, decent person, treat people right, tithe, go to church, all the things that you should do, put your treasures in heaven, when you die, you're going to be rich beyond compare. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. This is one of the things that Paul wrote, by the way. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Okay, see, that it doesn't say that in the blue book. It says mind of man. In the King James Version, it says in the heart of man. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In your mind, which is your heart, you conceive all the good things that God has for you. Well, some of them. But it says, no, neither have seen nor heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. You can't fathom the things that God has set has got ready that he has for you when you die. When you go to heaven, he's going to have things. People always wonder, well, I wonder why God this. I wonder why God that. Well, God created not only this earth, but the entire universe. He could sit down and explain something to you, and you'd be just be going, huh? It's like my first time I took algebra. I'm sitting there going, what? You know, why would you want God to explain something to you when you couldn't understand it anyway? Just accept it. You know, if you believe in God, you think he loves you, take the ball and run, man. Please turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This happens to be the verse of the month, but it's quite appropriate, and I really like it. It says, in the King James Version, which is real close to the Blue Book, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, I mean, he gave you a new heart, okay? That's like taking an old Chevy, putting a new motor in it. You're good to go. That's, you know, you don't need to worry about anything else. It's a Chevy. It's going to run forever. You get a person in good health that takes care of himself. You get born again. God gives you a new heart. That's the beginning. And you're going to get better at everything until Christ comes back. And then it's like, hallelujah. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you all for being here. Hope you enjoy my lesson, and I'll be here next week. Have a good night. I praise the Lord, and I love you guys. And a prayer, of course.